Some things fade with time. Others just keep coming back to haunt you, don't they? Many years ago, when I was much younger, and some say better looking, I had what is termed a conversion experience. Being from a Christian family, my primary religious understandings were, of course, shaped by that environment. So becoming a Christian was not something I thought was foreign. Being young and full of beans, I threw myself into this new experience. My eyes had been opened, I thought. My spiritual being was assured of a place in the eternity of paradise. I was, so I thought, finally surrendering to the finality of God's will and was prepared to surrender all. I became involved in the local youth scene and threw myself into evangelism with gusto. I was working with lots of other young people, and those that weren't already part of the kingdom were fair game in the war on souls. So it was not surprising that I soon had a God told me to experience. In my zeal to show how in touch with God I was, and how ready I was to listen to his directions, I told the church heavies that I was now anointed and would need their support to get the project going. Fortunately, as I now look back on it, one of the wiser heads prevailed and said, "Shane, God might have told you, but he hasn't told us yet. Besides, if he did tell you, then he'll provide the means, won't he?" I was deflated at one level, on another level full of anger that these blind men couldn't see the great work God had called me to. I certainly didn't have the resources, and so far God wasn't coming through either. What was I to do? As I now reflect back on this time, I'm glad I was only full of hot air and my own self-importance. From my current perspective, I wonder how time will treat George Bush's declaration that he is, quote, on a mission from God, unquote. George's declaration is revealed in a new BBC documentary being aired in Britain this month. In the program titled Elusive Peace, Israel and the Arabs, Palestinian Foreign Minister Nabil Shaath tells of how, during a meeting with Bush, the US President told him that, quote, "I'm driven with a mission from God. God would tell me, George, go and fight those terrorists in Afghanistan, and I did. And then God would tell me, George, go and end the tyranny in Iraq, and I did." The President is also quoted as telling his host, "I feel God's words coming to me. Go get the Palestinians their state and get the Israelis their security and get peace in the Middle East. And by God, I'm gonna do it." I guess this is George's way of saying he had a God told me to experience. Should we be surprised by this latest utterance by Bush? Not really. George had his own personal epiphany back in 1985. By his own admission, he had been till then what might politely be termed a tearaway. He drank, he smoked, he took drugs, and he screwed around. He was, by the sounds of it, a fairly regular kind of guy. But after his encounter with the Reverend Billy Graham, he came to the Lord and was saved. Given Graham's avowed anti-Semitism, anti-gay, anti-liberal, anti-union, and anti-just about everything else he deems to be non-Christian, we need to ask, if Bush's confessor is so out of touch with reality, where does that place Bush? Writing on the beliefnet.com site, Deborah Caldwell observes that Bush has clearly seen a divine aspect to his presidency since before he ran. She notes, quote, "There is evidence that Bush believes his election as president was the result of God's acts," unquote. She recounts Bush's speeches where he invokes some sort of divine anointing not only on himself but also the USA. She recounts how Bush has spelled out an absolutist moral position by calling on the notions of good and evil. Caldwell writes that Bush, whatever his original faith may have been, is now firmly entrenched in the Calvinist theological camp. Calvin's theology, she writes, is critical to contemporary evangelical thought, focused on the idea of a powerful God who governs the vast machinery of the whole world. Bush believes God is involved in world events and that he and America have a divinely guided mission, says Caldwell. Back when I had my little conversion experience, I had very few resources at my disposal to attempt to recreate the world as I thought it should be. Bush, on the other hand, has all the resources of the most powerful nation on earth. What could it mean for all of us if Bush and his White House believe in divine guidance? It means one thing. If we think it's bad now, we should not wait for the future because it will not get better. Rather, it will get much, much worse. Bush's delusion is like a kind of moral and ethical bypass. When a powerful group embark on a course of action that they know from deep within their humanity is wrong, such as the senselessness of war, they need to find some higher authority or power upon which to cast the blame. It works like this. A powerful group of ideologues believe that God has given them a divine task. As they plan the enactment of that task, they realize there will be casualties, collateral damage they might call it. They embark on the calling and find the slaughter is terrible, but, and this is the crucial bit, they know that this slaughter is a necessary part of doing God's will. Remember, they are only acting on orders. God has told them what to do, and so if there is any wrong, it must be on God's part. But as we all know, God cannot be wrong because, well, God is God. What is emerging is a new global theocracy. This belief in a higher authority has been used and abused since Adam was a pup. It has been used as much by us as it has been by them. During the last four centuries, it can easily be argued that we have consistently resorted to using some form of divine invocation to defend the most atrocious acts. Whether it's at the personal level of deriding, say, the theory of evolution, or the global scale of subjugating whole peoples and destroying their heritage in the name of a civilized God, the supposedly civilized Christian world has little to be proud of. And now the theocrats are in charge of the global village. I can openly admit, even if it causes me some embarrassment, that what I thought was God's whisper in my ear was possibly a bad prawn on a pizza. Or perhaps it was just good old-fashioned vanity. Whatever it was, I was dangerous. When no one else saw the bigger picture like I saw it, or supported the mission like I did, they were the ones who were deluded and wrong. They were the ones out of touch. They were the ones who were opposed to what God wanted. They were the ones who were inferior in their faith. Right here, right now, in 2005, the deluded theocrats stand ready to roll out their hate and anger and spew on all who don't see the world their way what they would call divine wrath. In reality, it is greed, power lust, and fear that drive them. Greed, because they fear others might gain something they don't. Power lust, because they feel powerless. Fear, because that's all the powerless can feel. God is not on George Bush's side any more than he or she is on my side or your side. What we can only do is see the actions of those who claim a divine mandate and measure them up against the overriding ethical and moral absolutes that really do matter. Those absolutes are that we all have the right to live without fear and to attempt to understand each other so we can travel together and create a better world than we already have. My question for George Bush is, are you prepared to face your own humanity and acknowledge the humanity you deny in others? I'm Shane Elson. This is the Public First Program.